Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and here we go. The Big Ten, at least football, is back. The Big Ten Council presidents and chancellors voted to lift the postponement of the fall sports season, or the Big Ten football season. And we'll see with the other sports, volleyball, soccer, and cross country. But obviously, football is the big news here. So the Council of Presidents and Chancellors overturn their vote back in August 11th, which, boy, that seems so long ago, even though it was just 7 weeks. But let's break down how we got here, what it means moving forward, and what it means for Illinois. And joining me today is Joey Wagner, Decatur Herald and Review. Good morning, Joey. Good to see you, man. Been a while.
Good morning, Jeremy. It's early. You know, last night, I think we all kind of had a guess this was coming, and I don't usually wake up at 8:15, so I set my alarm to I don't have kids, man. I get that extra hour or so, so I set my alarm. This was coming, but it's good to see you. It's good to talk football again, or the restart of talking football after 7 weeks.
I know you and I personally, Joey, are happy. Right? Because, I mean, come on, this last 7 months of being a sports reporter without real sports, games, events to cover, there's obviously always stories, there's obviously always, you know, drama leading up to a decision like this. But I know you and I individually, that some of the media got chastised for not wanting football to be back. I can tell you most people want football to be back. But the way I'm kind of looking at this today is the path to get here was rough for the Big Ten, and they deserve a lot of criticism for how they got here. But in the end, I think they're going to start their football season in a safer place, in a better place than a lot of these conferences that have already kicked off or are kicking off in the next couple of weeks. So in the end, I don't mind the destination they got to. And I think it was probably with the best intentions, right? I think they did do this and delayed so that they could get daily testing like they got. And that's what they're talking about today. Daily testing, they're going to have cardiological screening that can kind of take out the impact of potentially myocarditis and be able to identify those things. So they're going to kick off in a safer place than I think they could have the last couple of weeks. But obviously there were political pressures here. There's the pressure and frustration, I know, within the Big Ten and coaches and athletic directors of seeing other leagues kick off like the ACC. But I feel like this isn't a bad spot for the Big Ten to end up, but how they got here, man, was crazy and really bad for them.
You know, I think, you know, we deal, Jeremy, with Illinois, and we see it, Illinois fans mostly through social media and their reaction. I think it's hard, maybe for me too, to grasp the difference, because Illinois was very, and still is very far ahead in testing of students, of athletes. So I think without knowing or having that immediate where it's every day in your face what it looks like on other campuses, I think it's hard for us to grasp the reality of where the just how big that gap was. And I know you tweeted out a picture, and you know, it's like every other school is here and Illinois is way up here for testing. And you know, that's ultimately a huge deal. But to your bigger point, yeah, I mean, think about this. We had statements and rallies and lawsuits and fights and letters and all of this and more statements and more arguing. And it was ugly to get here, and it should have been handled better. We've talked about how the Pac-12 handled it, that they made their decision. They passed out the information. And we'll see it when we see it. And that was the end of that. And this, obviously, like you said, I'm glad we got to this point, because 7 months for us and our job's a long time. And I enjoy watching football. I enjoy covering football. I know the players, that wherever they're at, they're thrilled right now. Their parents are thrilled. Lovey's, I would assume, thrilled. And so is Josh. But, yeah, I mean, it looks like that these safety measures they have in place are good. And, you know, the myocarditis was a big thing 7 weeks ago, and the cardiac testing will get us there. So ugly, terrible, ugly path to get here. But we're here, and that's a win.
Yeah, and in the end, if you can pull this off more safely with more information, I think that's a good thing. And the Big Ten certainly has that. But it obviously, I think, exposed Kevin Warren's greenness on this job. I just don't think he has the relationships to kind of pull this off. And I think he has struggled with communication, which is a big part of the job. You've seen Larry Scott, who's not very popular in the Pac-12 before this, but he's been very transparent, has put all the medical information, and has said, hey, these political things, whether it's the states and their laws right now are impediments to us returning to play. And I think that's kind of kept everyone at bay out there because they do like football out on the West Coast as well. But I think you've seen the lack of relationships that he had. He didn't build consensus the first time in his own league. And that led to the divisiveness of the last 7 weeks, which obviously was not very good for him. I do think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he was doing this for the right reasons. But you see today, I think Kevin Warren learned from his first mistakes, Joey. The COPC, which is the Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors, they voted unanimously for football to return to play. You couldn't do this, and you shouldn't have done it the first time without returning to play. So they probably, in the beginning, should have just said delay instead of postpone the entire season. But I think he learned from the first time, and that's my daughter. So yeah, I mean, this is I think Kevin Warren probably learned a little bit, right? Right, Lily? Okay. Go ahead, Joey.
You're right. I mean, you know, this conference has moved in unison for as long as we've known this conference to be. I mean, when it came to 14 teams moved together with each other. And when you don't have that in a conference that you very often and always do have that, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And it did very publicly in a very ugly way. And I think to your point, yeah, I mean, maybe a delay on October 11th, but or at least hold off on an announcement maybe until you can get this in unison. I mean, look, I think the intent was good.
Yes.
I think the intent to protect these kids, to protect from community spreading, that was good. But just the way that they got to that point had a terrible and ugly fallout. And I just think it's so different to see the Big Ten a little bit broken up, quite a bit broken up, I should say. And that's what we saw.
And now I haven't seen him yet. We're recording this at just after 9 a.m. Haven't heard from Kevin Warren yet. I wonder how he'll do today. But he's going to have medical experts available. He's going to have ADs flanking him or at this press conference. They're actually going to take questions. I mean, Dave Revson did a great job the first time, but they're going to take questions from everybody. So the Big Ten is going to require, just to get into some of the nitty-gritty, because I do think this is important. I don't know how many fans care, but this stuff is important. The Big Ten will require student-athletes, coaches, trainers, and other individuals that are on the field for all practices and games to undergo daily antigen testing. And that's the POC, point of contact, daily testing that's so rapid. And they're going to follow that up so make sure it's not a false positive or with PCR testing, which usually is a little bit more accurate. So that's one of the things, the big thing, so that if they have somebody test positive, they're not out in the community for 3 days. They're not in the team for 3 days and doesn't shut down everything. Also, they're going to have all COVID-19 positive student athletes undergo comprehensive cardiac testing so that they can identify myocarditis if that is an issue. But I think this is important, Joey. This could have a huge impact on the season. The earliest a student athlete can return to a game competition is 21 days following a COVID-19 positive diagnosis. And I think that's what we got to remember is you're seeing football games on your screen on the weekend, but you're not seeing all of them you're supposed to. You're not seeing all the players you're supposed to. So the Big Ten is coming back, and I think that's a good thing. I think we're all trying to find, Joey, ways we can live our lives and do what we need to do with taking precautions, right? And I think the Big Ten is doing that. And I personally think that's okay, but it's still going to be messy. I still think this is probably going to be a messy season where some Illinois players are going to be out for a couple weeks if they test positive. And that's why it's really important they follow these protocols and all their teammates and staff members follow these protocols. But the Big Ten also has in place these measures of if you're over 5 to 7.5% positivity rate, they're going to shut you down for a week at least. So I don't know if we're going to get all our games in, but they're going to get some games in, right? And that's going to be important financially and everything. But I just wanted to reiterate, I think this is going to be – messy. It's not going to be perfect, right? I think we all understand that.
Yeah, and look, when we had those 5 days of training camp, there was a lot of player accountability discussions that, that the players shared with us. And when you're putting in 8 games in 8 weeks, as the rumor that the reports seem to be, you've got to have that. I mean, you lose an offensive lineman, any position group for 21 days. That's almost half your season. I'm not great at math, but I know that's pretty close to half of your season. Or even just a shutdown of, I think we saw the report of, was it LSU had a total of some, was it 75 players? Now, obviously those all didn't come at once.
Right.
But those metrics that they laid out, the 7 days off, those are going to come into play. I mean, that's two, team outbreaks is really kind of what that's saying. So you're right. This isn't going to be, we're not starting on October 23rd, 24th and going full speed ahead no matter what. There are teams that are going to have roadblocks, you would think, just with the nature of what a global pandemic entails. So, yeah, I mean, the precautions they have in place seem good to me. And, maybe they weren't prepared to do that 7 weeks ago.
So what's next is you'll have football teams restarting training camp, right? They've been able to practice, but it's only 6 hours on the field per week, and it's helmets. It's not even full shoulder pads. It's these little pad things that are you barely even notice. So it's basically glorified walkthroughs that they've been doing. And talked to someone in Illinois the last couple of days. The expectation would probably be next Wednesday or next Friday they would start practice, so it wouldn't happen just like that. So I know some fans have asked, well, why wouldn't they just do 3 weeks of practice? Well, one, Wisconsin's shut down right now, so they need more time than all these other teams because of COVID and the outbreak there. You want probably 25 to 29 practices to gear up for this, just like a normal season. And with the October 24th date, you're allowed to do that. So October 23rd, 24th is the start date. December 19th would be the Big Ten championship game. It sounds like 8 conference games in 8 weeks. We don't have a schedule quite yet. And I mean, obviously this start time, Joey, I always thought the most sense was to start in late November, right? If it's really just about safety and mitigating spread. But it's not just about that, right? It's about getting Ohio State or Penn State in the college football playoff. It's about the Big Ten being relevant this season and not playing like a JV season. So I always thought late November when students are off campus, you do them in domes, that could make the most sense. But there's the pressure of being involved in the college football season and being involved in the college football playoff that we're seeing here. But as for fans, we haven't seen an announcement. Illinois obviously was gearing up for fans in the summer. But Adam Rittenberg tweeted out from ESPN, not expecting fans at Big Ten games this fall. Do expect games to return to campus. He said there could be some flexibility of fans at the end of the schedule. So that's what's coming up. Any thoughts on that, Joey?
I mean, we've seen fans a little bit. We saw them Thursday night in Kansas City. We've seen, I think some games had smattering of fans. I think it looks weird. I think it looks really, really weird to have a smattering of fans. But if that's the take, to get this going and have that TV, really the money will be on the TV deals, right? And if that's what it takes, and I guess that's what it takes. And everyone is so – I think I kind of like it if that is the case and it's a blanket of no fans. I kind of like that because, it's – how weird is it, right? If you go to one stadium and it's completely silent – silent but completely empty, and you go to another and there's 20%, how much of a competitive advantage? I don't know, but just blanket it out and move forward until we know a little more. I'm sure that won't be a popular thought, but right. I mean, if that's what it takes to kick this thing off in a month.
Right. And I know JB Pritzker is not popular in football circles for what he said yesterday, Joey, and you cover that kind of that. But college sports is different. I don't think the guidelines have changed from where they were in the summer about spectator sports outdoor. And I know previously, and I think numbers in the state have only gotten better, that public health experts in Champaign-Urbana, I've talked with Julie Pride from CU PhD, that they were pretty comfortable with 20% of fans and comfortable, and Illinois was talking with them about having that. So I wonder if that'll be a Big Ten mandate or if it will be school by school, kind of like it is elsewhere, state by state, whatever it is. Because I mean, celebrating today are probably a lot of people in those athletics offices. And that includes coaches of non-revenue sports. Like, you know, I talked to Brad Dancer and Justin Spring in recent weeks, and they're nervous about their programs, especially Justin and men's gymnastics. But that gets revenue for the entire athletics department. Josh Whitman might not have to lay off as many people with this television revenue coming in, right? Or might not have to furlough or cut salaries as much as other people. So that financial pressure obviously was there as well. And if, let's be honest, Illinois has been getting 50% of fans at some games elsewhere. So if you can get 20% of fans, that's significant revenue for a school like Illinois, even if you're only able to get that for a couple games later in the season.
I will say, I thought, you know, I remember watching the Kansas City game Thursday night, and I thought, you know, it doesn't look bad, right? I mean, people are spread out. And I thought, well, if they can get people in and out of here without interacting with the other, you know, to me it makes, you know, I am kind of backtracking a little bit what I said, but you can see a way that they can get people in and out of the stadium safely. And, you know, stay at your seat. There are ways to do it, I think.
At some places, it looked better than others, right? At some schools, it seemed like they were all kind of pressed together. Yeah. But Illinois obviously seemed to have well thought out protocols there.
Yeah, and I think I totally agree. But if it comes down to, you know, I would have not let that be a breaking point,
right?
I guess is the point I'm trying to make. If you can do it, go forward. If you can do it safely. But in no way, shape, or form am I going to put my feet on the ground and say, no way are we doing this unless we can have 20% of people. And yeah, I think that's kind of it.
You'd rather have television revenue than no revenue, right? Which is huge for this conference. I think you're more likely to have fans maybe at the end of the football games than basketball, just because of the indoor-outdoor thing, right? So we'll see how that goes. Well, Joey, for Illinois, I've long been high on this 2020 team. I guess not like, oh my gosh, they're going to win the Big Ten West high on them, but even our own 24/7 sports national guys say, Illinois last. They got to get out of the basement. And I try to remind them they did get out of the basement last year. They were fourth in the Big Ten West, and they've only improved their roster, right? Like, so you've seen other Big Ten West teams like Purdue lost Rondale Moore to opting out. Minnesota lost Rashad Bateman. Northwestern lost Rashawn Slater. I know Ohio State's lost some. It'll be interesting to see if those guys come back. But Illinois, in the meanwhile, has only added eligibility for Kamari Thompson and Brian Hightower, which they need more talent at wide receiver. Daniel Matoribebe and Roderick Perry are added to the roster. So you upgrade another offensive weapon and you upgrade a defensive line, which sorely needs it. Plus, you've had no guys opt out. You're an experienced team. And I think this year, you're a much deeper team than you've been in the past, which could be very, very important. So I think they were going to take a step forward anyway. We haven't seen the schedule. But when it comes to – they're going to play all the Big Ten West teams, right? Or they're going to try to. When it comes to the Big Ten West, Joey, I just look at this team and their roster, and they're not behind Purdue. They're not – I don't know how far – if they are behind Nebraska. But they are – even or possibly we'll see if they can be above those teams when it comes to talent on the roster. So it comes down to execution. It comes down to coaching. But I think this team is set up for success. And I think even more so after these opt-outs and possibly after the delay.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. In those, since this has been shut down, the two wide receivers, Kamari Thompson, Brian Hightower, that's big. I mean, that's great for Illinois. I don't see how you – I mean, on a quick tangent, how can you not give a waiver to kids right now? We're seeing them go. But, yeah, the talent's there. And then you add in a healthy Marquez Beeson. You add in an eligible Luke Ford. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this team. And you know, I understand it's easy to put Illinois last in preseason rankings because that's frankly where they've deserved to be for the last however many years you want to look at it. But for those of us who see this team – or hear about this team, I guess, recently, every day, there is. I mean, you're returning a quarterback. That is singularly the most important thing on any football team is to return an experienced quarterback. It's been some time since Illinois has truly done that, and Brandon Peters is pretty good on top of it. Mm-hmm. You take care of the most important position on the field, which just frankly hasn't really been taken care of for anything more than a couple band-aids for a few years. And AJ Bush was a good band-aid. MJ Rivers played well enough. But you have a guy in Brandon that's huge to me. And you're right. I mean, Josh Imadorebebe is another guy. I mean, man, what a season last year, right? Mm-hmm. What, I mean, just unbelievable how good he was after the production that was on the table at USC. And you can suddenly, it's harder, I guess, to find that position group where you say, boof, I'm just not sure about this one. Defensive line is probably it, in fairness. But the last few years, I mean, it was like, well, what are they going to do here or here or here? And that's not the case anymore. And the opt-outs, like you mentioned, Rondale Moore, that's big for Purdue. You've seen them across the Big Ten. It will be interesting to see if some of those players say, well, I'm going to come back and give this a shot. Some won't. But Illinois, certainly, the talent gap isn't quite there. This is, you know, this is just going to be how well do you know the scheme? How good is the coaching? How good is the execution? And that's a stark difference from where we've been for some time.
Joey, I just see in our email box, we got that Lovie Smith and Josh Whitman will be speaking at 2:30 today. So we'll have coverage of that, of course. What are your big questions for them? Especially, I guess, I know what Lovie will probably say, right? That his team was preparing for this, that he feels good. And we'll talk to more football, I guess, with him. But especially for Whitman, I'm trying to think, like, what are my questions today? I think it's mostly, for me, probably bigger picture of just what playing a season and what this can do financially. I for me, that's so important. And maybe just from his perspective of how you've kind of gone about balancing, you know, this is a pandemic, but we also are trying to do what we want and normally do, right? I think that's, I keep coming back to, I think we're all trying to do that, is we want to get back to, hey, we have to live with this thing right now. How do we do it safely? And just how he kind of maybe balanced that.
I mean, in a tale as old of time, I probably have more questions for Robert Jones today than I do Lovie or Josh.
I do not see him on the email.
I did not. I'm traveling, I'm sure. But I mean, how do you navigate this in such a weird month, and just frankly, a kind of a disastrous month for the Big Ten? How do you navigate this when you have on a football team 100 different players feeling 100 different things? And how do you take the time to ensure those players, whether it be as a group, whether it be individually, just to talk with them? I mean, that so much of this is a human relationship, and how do you keep them you know, in a good space in terms of not getting too down or wanting to stay motivated? And I mean, that's a big thing with this. I have a lot of financial questions too. Mm-hmm. I mean, how big is this in terms of what does this do differently to your budget? I'm sure he probably doesn't know all of that right now. Right. That seems to be there's so many different variables with this, but man, this, it's just been such a weird time. I'm kind of like you asked me, like, what do you ask him? I thought, shoot, I don't know. I had till 2:30 to figure that out. But
well, I'm just kind of thinking about it in my head, the biggest questions would be for Jones is what gave you a lot more faith. And I'm sure he'd cite testing, and we'll see if Illinois releases a statement. I'm sure they will, with something pretty general with Jones. But you'd love to get in on those meetings. And I see on the Big Ten Network, you know, Alvarez, Barber, Warren, Jim Phillips are all on this call. I guess we'll learn more from them as well. But I think it was a confluence of a lot of things, right? I think it was a confluence of they do have more information. They do feel safer to play. But boy, there was a lot of pressure and a lot of blowback that I think Warren originally thought that not just the Pac-12 would follow, that all these other schools yes. would follow him and they'd all be on the same board. And they weren't. And it kind of showed that the NCAA doesn't have power over these autonomous conferences. And they're kind of like, you know, states, rather different countries, really, than all kind of on board the same thing. And I think that was a misplay by him. But at the end of the day, I think the Big Ten didn't rush it like some of these other conferences did. It's just the messaging was really bad, and the unity was really bad.
I completely agree. I've thought a lot. I think did you see the Penn State defensive lineman who tweeted yesterday and basically like, you know, please stop until we know something. And obviously we have jobs to do. Mm-hmm. But I've thought a lot about that really since October 6th, 7th, 8th, when all of this started to really – these are still 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids. Imagine being in your apartment, in your dorm, and you get through Twitter and it's just rumor after rumor after rumor. And all of a sudden, I think we talked about this, Jeremy, all of a sudden this thing that you've done for 15 years of your life, the thing that you hope to do for the next 15 years of your life, it's kind of in flux. And just the push and the pull and the that had to be tough. I mean, I know this is a little bit off track, but think about that as when you were 18 or 22, and this is something you've done forever, and all of a sudden, one day it's here, one day it's not, and one day it's coming back, and one day it's not. And, you know, I know Lovey and Josh were being as transparent as they possibly could with these guys, but there's short of those guys being on a live stream every minute into these guys' apartment, you're going to have a gap of information relaying. And, man, it's just I keep coming back to that. And it just had to be really, really a tough thing to process as you deal with all of this.
Well, and it was. I mean, think about, man, was it 2.5 months ago? Not even. Milo Ifor is one of the big voices of players being like, hey, is this safe? Like, are we sure we should be doing this? And then you see him and some other players tweeting out, we want to play, right? Maybe Milo didn't, but you've seen a lot of players who had questions, whether it was Kendrick Green or Jake Hansen. And I think all those guys obviously said they want to play, but they had big questions about whether it was safe. And then they're leading the charge to try and get it back. So obviously it was confusing for all of us. And we got to remember these people leading the Big Ten are human too, right? Like they don't know everything about this, and we're all trying to learn about it. Yeah. We're all trying to figure this thing out, and it was messy. So I think we all kind of struggled with this, and even myself, it's like, I was happy training camp started originally, and I'm like, should they be doing this? Is this the right thing? Would I go to games? Is that the right thing for me to do? But I think we feel a little bit better 7 weeks later about how to handle this stuff.
And I think another thing with this is that I thought those same things, and it's, well, how loud do I want to say this, right? I mean, you know, should they be playing, should they not? And you think, oh boy, if I say this too loud, and suddenly you're rooting against it. And then imagine you're not a player.
Here's the thing, Joey. I feel like everyone wants you to have that take. Like, are you for football coming back? Or are you against it? And it was more just like, I just got questions. Is that okay? Is it okay to be like, man, I don't know if this is the best thing, but I would like it to happen. Can we find a way to make this? And that's where, I mean, you'll get me on a soapbox about this country right now, but it's like, you have to pick one side or the other, and you can't just have questions and be like, let's think about this for a second, right? Like, is this the best thing to do? I want this, but to do it safely, can we get better ways of doing this? You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like you got to pick a side, and you can't have questions about either side, right? And that's our job.
You mentioned Milo and however many months ago that was now, and he sent that tweet, and we chatted with him on Zoom. Read the responses to that tweet if you can. I mean, it is just people saying, you know, to the extent of if you're scared, stay home, or it's like, whoa, he's not, listen, just listen. Yes. He just has questions, and I don't mean to single Milo out, but it's a good example of what you talked about is, allow people to ask questions and then let them kind of formulate their opinions. We don't have that right now, and it's just a very tough spot.
Well, and you think of like the parents who wanted to play, or you think of, you know, I know you talk to high school football coaches, and there are huge questions for J.B. Pritzker and their criticism, which I think is deserved, right? I think, you know, they're not just heartless and just don't care about their kids' health. They care about their kids having the opportunity. They care about their kids having mental health right now. So there's a way to middle ground this. Like, we can come together and come up with better ideas. And ultimately, I think the Big Ten did that, even if it was really publicly messy.
Yeah, and 8 games isn't perfect, right? I mean, it's not the 12 games that we know it. You know, then I keep thinking, ultimately, well, 8 games, you know, we know bowl to games to be 6 games. We don't even know that bowl games are going to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but look, 8 games, there's a lot of kids on that, on a lot of football teams in the Big Ten who 8 games is going to get them a paycheck in a year. And that's huge. And it's going to, I don't know, man. It wasn't perfect. But.
Yeah. To wrap this up, that's one part we haven't talked about yet is, I think there's a legitimate season to get legitimate film for these seniors, right? And for these draft eligible prospects, even if we're talking about Kendrick Green, who's a redshirt junior, you got legit film that you can show to NFL teams, and you can get into the draft process at the same normal time you would. Now, the draft might even be delayed because of the Pac-12, right? If they play in all these other conferences, I forget the majority of conferences in football, not just Division I, but if you put all the conferences together in Division II, Division III, they're not playing. So they got to get a spring season in somehow. I think this is legit film for the Big Ten. It's a legit opportunity for those guys. Plus, the other thing about Illinois is some fans worry about, and understandably so, a drop-off next year, Joey, after losing a bunch of these guys. Well, I don't know if a guy like, say, Doug Kramer can gain a lot by coming back for another year because he's got so much film already, or if a guy like Alex Palcheski is going to gain a lot for coming back in the fall of 2021. But say a Tony Adams, who's had a lot of injuries and could use another year, use more film, that guy could come back. You kind of prolong maybe some eligibility and prolong maybe a guy like Blake Gerasotti. Does he want another season of Big Ten film? Right, those guys could maybe come back for a year and give you a little bit more of a bridge to that next group of talent.
Man, Blake Gerasotti, that's a really good point, because 2 years of Big Ten film was not what that guy expected when he transferred to Illinois, right. And that could be a really big difference for him. And yeah, I mean, there's so much now we're done with the infighting, right? We think, and now it's looking at what does this mean for that extra year? I know you did a piece, Jeremy, of 10 players who could most benefit from this, and not everyone's a senior either. Right. And that's a huge deal for an extra year for, you know, across the board. And you know, I don't know. It's fun. This is more fun to talk about than, oh, did you see that statement? Oh my gosh, did you hear they got a call from DC? And this is the conversation I got in here today.
Yeah. Well, Isaiah Gay is another senior I thought could benefit.
Yeah,
he's only 21 years old.
I was blanking on some.
You know, some of the guy offensive linemen, I think like Vertus Brown, Jordan Slaughter, if they could have 3 years of eligibility as a potential starter. But the last thing, we might actually get to talk to Brandon Peters this year. I think that's going to happen, Joey.
Social distance king, Brandon Peters.
We haven't talked to him since the Red Box Bowl. That was December 30th. And we were scheduled to the day they announced that they were postponing. It was like, no, just let us talk to Brandon. I want to talk to him.
We've tried. And look, I think, you know, I don't want this to come across as a shot at Brandon, because we're obviously having fun with it. We know that's his personality. Yes. I would like to talk to him. Do not get me wrong. And I think there's a couple of us who probably feel like we've got a pretty good rapport with them. But some people just don't like to sit in front of a screen and talk to a majority of people who are strangers and throwing stuff at a wall to see what's going to stick. And Brandon is one of those guys. I found him to be a good interview, but yes, we get to talk to the quarterback, and that is exciting. And hopefully that's sooner rather than later, but it's weird. I mean, I've only been literally awake for about an hour, but I don't know that I have that feeling of that Friday before training camp yet. Maybe I need a couple hours to sit here and be like, oh yeah, this is a thing again.
Well, for us content creators, right? Like all of a sudden there's a lot of content here. So we're very, very happy about that. But yeah,
we got more coming today.
That's right. But it just feels, you know, me watching the White Sox every day or watching the NBA playoffs, it's different, Joey. I don't know if we'll be able to go to away games. I think we will be able to go to Illinois games. So maybe seeing a press box in a month and a half. But we're going to do most of the stuff via Zoom, right? So it's definitely different. But we're finding a way to make this work. And now the Big Ten's finding a way to make this work. And our country's trying to find a way to make this work, right? So it's a good day. It's a good day for the Big Ten. It's a good day for Illinois. And hopefully we can do this as safely as possible. And I think we've gotten better in that in the last 7 weeks.
Look, I mean, I, at the risk of carrying water here, and you know, you're right, the content has been the king for us to try to figure this out over the course of the last 7 months. Illinois has been really good about helping us out.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have, and I don't mean to sound like I'm, you know, patting the university on the back for it, but I mean, you send a text, it's more than likely you're going to be on the phone in the next 24 hours, and that helps. And that helped bridge the gap to now and to more Zoom meetings. But man, you're right. It's a good day. Sunday watching the NFL literally all day long. It was awesome. And I thought, man, this feels, because it didn't feel like fall before Sunday. It really didn't. Like I won't speak for you. My schedule is based around, for better or for worse, football. And it's Friday nights, I know where I'm going to be. And Saturday, I know where I'm going to be. And Sunday, God willing, I'm up by noon. I know where I'm going to be in my chair for the next 12 hours.
You're right, though. For me, it's like it ushers in different parts of the year. So you said it doesn't feel like fall. And I know it's not technically fall until, what, the 21st of September? But you know what I mean? Like, it didn't – it felt like it was just summer still. And it finally, with football starting – And covering it, like, training camp marks the end of the summer for me. Starting of games ends that, you know, the end Thanksgiving of the season kind of marks the start of winter and the holidays. And then spring ball is kind of like, okay, you turn the page from basketball season into spring ball. And then for me, recruiting camps, that's the start of the summer for me. I haven't had those. So it feels like March through this time just kind of blended together, Joey. Like, you kind of lose.
You could,
like,
tell me it's June and I believe you.
I don't know where we're at in the calendar unless I check my phone or my calendar on here. So it's like it finally is starting to feel like fall, which is personally my favorite time of year. So I'm happy.
On top, of that, it's like, oh, hey, by the way, basketball, we're going to know about that. And it's like, whoa, today. Hold on. No. It's still football.
Yeah. Joey Wagner, yeah. Great to catch up with you, man. Hopefully I get to see you in person masked up in 4 to 6 weeks, but I'll see a lot more of you on Zoom call. So I'm appreciative of that, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Great stuff with Joey Wagner, Decatur Herald and Review. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at MrWagner25. And we got more good news for Illinois as they are on a winning streak when it comes to transfer waivers. Brevin Jones tweeted out, and I can't confirm, that he has immediate eligibility. Mississippi State transfer offensive lineman has 4 years of eligibility remaining, and he could still play 4 years for Illinois after this year because the NCAA ruled that this will not count against eligibility. So more good news for Illinois is that offensive line depth, Brevin Jones, we'll play left tackle. That's what Bob McClain told me back in July. Bob McClain, the offensive line coach for Illinois. And he's long, he's athletic, and he's got a pretty high ceiling. Illinois is pretty excited about him for the long term, but also he's probably better than the left tackles they had backing him up. And now Brevin is going to earn a lot more practice reps this year because Luke Ford, for instance, sat out last year, didn't get a lot of meaningful reps in practice. He was a scout team player because Illinois wasn't preparing to play him. You know, they thought they'd have the spring, which of course they didn't end up having, and next training camp, right, to get him ready to play. Now Brevin Jones, they'll get him ready to play. He'll be behind Vidarian Lowe, the four-year starter now at left tackle, but this is important for his development because instead of sitting out a year and potentially losing a year, he can play this year and not lose that year. So for the long term, a big win for Brevin Jones. But for Illinois, after the Luke Ford, some people would say debacle with the NCAA, they have now gotten four straight waivers. Pretty good. I mean, Chase Brown, they took a long time to give him that last year, but they got a winning streak three in a row, right? That's a winning streak. I believe that's what they say. They've gotten Kamari Thompson, Brian Hightower, and now Brevin Jones. So that's some much-needed depth and much-needed talent added to the offensive side of the football for Illinois football. So more good news there. But boy, you got football coming up. We're going to have a lot more content on this podcast. We've got a lot of content on the website right now. And we've used our breaking news text two times today, one for the Big Ten returning to play and the other one for Brevin Jones. So sign up for those right now. I tweeted that out. You can sign up for breaking news text alerts right to your phone. It's one of our most popular features. All right, we're going to have a lot more Illinois football to talk on this podcast. We'll see the schedule probably out in the next couple days. Sounds like it'll be division play and then possibly one crossover and then a crossover to play the team who finished the same as you in the other division. So second place against second place, third place against third place. I'm just seeing that come across now. It sounds like Barry Alvarez said that's the case. We'll have the latest information at Illini Inquirer. And, of course, on the podcast, we'll break down the latest that we get in the coming days. I appreciate you listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Subscribe, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcast. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other and get excited for Big Ten football season. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.